Hey everybody, Stephen here from The Truth About Dyslexia. In today's episode, I want to talk about an article I read in the New Zealand Herald around ADHD. And, you know, it speaks very much to those with dyslexia, ADHD, the neurodiverse in general. And, you know, I think when I was reading it, the whole thing that jumped out at me was, you know, there are a bunch of challenges around the phrasing around neurodiversity, around dyslexia, ADHD, certain parts of autism, you know, that, you know, the wording, the phrasing just kind of gets jumbled, but the challenges remain the same. So let's dive into this. I just want to talk through this. I like to go on a bit of a rant occasionally about something I've read, and I think this could add some value to people's lives. So let's dive in. Okay, so in this article, it was put out by a guy called Darren Bull and the ADHD Foundation of New Zealand, I believe they are called. And, you know, it was an article talking about a few different key facts around neurodiversity, ADHD specifically. One was about the absolute poor amount of diagnoses. Is that the phrase of it? there's, you know, and it's exactly the same with dyslexia. People are not fully diagnosed very well due to both the cost and the people that are actually doing it. You know, for ADHD, you've got to go to a psychotherapist, which in New Zealand, at least, it is about half the price, what I've found, to get diagnosed with ADHD than it is to get diagnosed with dyslexia. Which is interesting. I think with dyslexia, the point of that is it takes a bit longer. And from what I've learned around ADHD, it's a much simpler diagnosis. When I got diagnosed, it was an hour. And then they basically handed me a script for pills. You know, that was kind of the process, right? It wasn't a brilliantly... It's not as... You know, you think it's going to be a lot more than that. I know when I went in, I was like, oh, wonder what this is going to be like. Are they going to... What's going to happen? And I swear within 45 minutes, probably, they'd actually just asked me questions I could have been asked by a computer and diagnosed me. So it was a very simple system. So it was a lot cheaper. But the problem is people trained in diagnosing it, there's not enough people in our country, and I'm presuming this is the same across the world to an extent, there's just not the numbers. And the cost of it is prohibitive. So he was talking about that. But what really stood out, you know, and that's very true across all neurodiversity, but what really stood out to me is that they talked about this thing about this guy, and I can't remember if it was him or someone else who'd spoken to him, who was at the age of 22, just felt really lazy, just felt like a lazy, lazy, lazy person. And it wasn't until they were diagnosed at 30 they realized it wasn't that they were lazy, it's that their brain works a different way. And I think this is so important. Whether you've got to this podcast through a dyslexia, an ADHD, maybe it's a high-functioning autism kind of flow, you know, we all have these pre-built-up opinions of ourselves based on society. And, you know, the most relaxing thing in the world is when we have that moment, we go, I wonder if I've got ADHD, or I wonder if I've got dyslexia, or I wonder if I've got this. And as we start to unravel it, we start to work out, hey, yeah, maybe I do have it. We go on and maybe we get clinically diagnosed, or maybe we don't. You know, a lot of people don't go on and get clinically diagnosed due to the cost and due to not even being able to get an appointment in some cases. It's really challenging, right? But one of the things that really helps us is as we start to come to terms with this stuff, and there are usually a few moments of, oh my God, why did I not know this earlier? How was I missed? You know, this is a massive part of any human being's story to find this out. And it's not about being given a label for the sake of being given a label. I don't have a problem with labels, personally. I don't think there is a problem with labels. There's a problem with how people interpret labels. But labels actually help us learn and grow. You know, it's important to see that in a grander context. So when you find out that you have ADHD or dyslexia, or you're 90% sure, you're able to say, hey, my brain operates differently. It's not exactly the same as everyone else. I function in a new and varying way. And that's okay. I know for me personally, over the years, I've definitely felt stupid. I felt lazy when I was younger. You know, every time I tried to go to the gym, lasted 2 months and then fell off again. Or every time I started something and 2 weeks in, I was probably the most committed person in the world. And how I could go from the most committed person to flittering to something else that grabbed my attention was amazing. Or how things, and this is really my big dyslexia side, is how things that seem so simple for to one person seem are actually so, you know, difficult for me. You know, things that take a lot of my brain power, my energy, my will. You know, if I, you know, sometimes, you know, remembering to do the washing, maybe it is something like that, or put the dishwasher on. Or the one Holly keeps badgering me about is a couple of times I've actually let the dog out to go to the bathroom before I go to bed, and I've forgotten and I've left the door open. I've left the back branch slider open. Luckily, we live in a relatively safe area, but it's something I've got to be overly conscious of, because if I miss it, I miss it, and that can be, you know, I used to beat myself up all the time for it. Now I'll have a joke about it. It's a bit frustrating. I'm not trying to do it on purpose, but it happens. Because I know my brain operates that way, I'm like, okay, I could beat myself up if I didn't know this. But because I know that this is how I work, I need to put in some adjustments into my life. How do I make sure this doesn't happen again? Maybe I have, when I let the dog out, I have to stand by the ranch slider and get into a habit of not leaving till the dog's back. Maybe that's what I have to do. Same thing with eating better. You know, this year I'm really trying to get fit. I've definitely had some potholes and some bumps along the way. Guarantee that's going to happen for all of us. You know, but overall, I have made some really good progress, and a lot of those are starting to change my external environment to match what I'm trying to change internally. So, you know, moving food around the house into certain places. I've realized I have to do that to an even greater extent because it has worked, but I've only done it to a 70, 80% extent because I've left stuff in places where I can get caught out. So all this stuff is kind of, it builds on top of each other, but as you learn about yourself, you can make those adjustments. You can grow in the way you need to grow. Because that's the key, is we love growth, but if we grow in the wrong direction, we can become quite negative or things not working in the right way. And so when I read this article, it just reminded me. It reminded me of those feelings of being lazy, not good enough, being wrong. Some things I'm not, you know, I feel like everyone's against me. You know, I felt, you know, I remember those days where there were moments in my life where it felt like the world was ending. I see this with kids a lot. You know, they get stuck in this kind of zone of everything being about the moment. Nothing exists past the moment. So they're so in the moment that they forget that their actions in the moment have consequences. And cause and effect is a podcast I love doing every now and then because it's so big for us. I sometimes think dyslexics are just giant toddlers, especially ones with a bit of ADHD thrown in. We're like giant toddlers who have a similar action pattern, just in a more grown-up way. You know, we think in the moment, we have fun sometimes in the moment without thinking about what happens next or what the consequences. We have all of these fun and exciting challenges that appear in our lives from it. And you know, as I say, I probably will do a podcast on that this week around being the toddler in the world. You know, grown up toddlers, you know, 7 steps to building habits that work. But you know, as I say, that's another podcast. But what I wanted to say to everyone, just to finish off, is, you know, you're not lazy. Your brain just works differently. So don't beat yourself up about it. You know, remember to be grateful for what you've created. When you are grateful, you will notice how much you've done and go, wow, that is pretty darn amazing. And even if I did do a few things that external people see as lazy, well, my brain just does things better in one way and worse in another way. That's how I've looked at it. I'm 1,000 times better than a lot of people in certain ways, and maybe 10 to 20 times worse in other ways. So that's my framing, and it seems to work. So have an epic rest of your day. I'll be back on Thursday with my podcast, probably on adult toddlers, but have an epic rest of your day.